We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit.
He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Let's give it up for our guy Jeremiah here.
Here he is.
A warrior these last 24 hours.
Proud of you, dude. You came back fighting hard.
Hugging the porcelain. Ooh, just a great... I love how everyone else starts the new year. We're going to get in the best shape of our life.
Yeah.
We're gonna start the new year hot. Jay wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start the new year just puking his guts out.
Just praying to the porcelain god, boys. Just praying to the porcelain god.
That was such a mind trip for me because I came on. It was Phil at first, and we were all excited. And then all of a sudden, I came back on 2 minutes later, and you were like, bro.
Bad.
Dude. Ain't happening. Yeah. I was so like, I just sat there like, now what do I do? What do I do all day?
Yeah, you do. I think to give Jeremiah credit though, he came on and he looked like he was dying, and he was kind of slurring his words, and he's like, "I can do it. I might sound a little drunk. I might need to leave a few times to go puke." Or like, "No, we'll just push it."
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the second we hung up, I was like, "Oh, thank God!" And I just went to the toilet. And just, and I was like, "Okay, I'm going back to bed."
Does this
ever happen? Like you got, you know, it's week 10 regular season. It's Wednesday install day, and you wake up like stomach flu. Like, how does that work in the middle of a season?
See, they're pretty. When you're sick like that, they know better than to bring you into the.
Yeah, program, you're not allowed to come in
because it'll run through the team so fast. Right, like I've been on teams where like the stomach flu's been in, and it's just like it's like one room to the next.
Bang, oh, fast bang, too. Bang, like lunch, bang. Everyone's sick.
Yeah, so like if you call, like that's the one thing, like everyone's like soldier up, but if you call the staff, you're like, hey, I'm puking, or I'm pooping everywhere, like they're like, stay your ass at home, we'll send a doctor to you, like you sit right there and you don't come in here until we clear you, because that's the one thing, like that'll run through a team so fast, so fast.
Dude,
that's like Jalen Hurts had to take his own plane to the game that one time because he was sick.
Hey, like they're serious. They're serious about that. There was a guy that came in at the Niners one time, and they yelled at him. Like, dude, how are you going to come in when you're throwing up? Go home. What are you, a child? I remember looking at him like, what are you, a child?
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Everything's okay. So, all right, we made it. We made it through the holidays. We appreciate you guys sticking with us here, O-Line Committee Podcast. If you haven't already, click the like button and the subscribe button.
Almost
on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel.
So close.
Yeah, we're like five away. Just like five of you click that like and subscribe button.
Five people. Maybe
six. I'm not sure. And then a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's Phil Mackey, Jeremiah Searles, Alex Boone. And we start every show with Who's the Mic, where we identify the biggest things on our mind around football each week. Jay, why don't you identify?
Well, you guys all know I am the college football junkie in the group, right? All you professional, nose up to the sky, football purists, love your NFL. But, you know, I only
watch the Panthers. Okay, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah,
anything below that.
Don't start with me.
But, you know, the college football playoff was this weekend, and it was fantastic. I mean, it was everything that you hoped and dreamed it could be. It was close games. They were competitive games. And, you know, now we've got a Michigan Washington final. And, you know, for me, my mic is Florida State. I still am in the camp that they should have been there. I'm still in the camp. And everyone's going to say, well, look what happened to Georgia. Blah, 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 blah. They had 28 opt-outs.
Yeah.
28, right? They didn't put them in the college football playoff because they didn't have one player, right? Their quarterback. And so now everyone's like, well, they made it right. They made the right decision. I still don't believe that because Jaden Milroe, wait, is it Jaden?
Yeah, no, Jalen.
Jalen Milroe. We're just called Milroe. He threw for 120 yards. You really think that, like, oh, Florida State could have come in? I think Florida State would have played just as well with all their starters against that Michigan team. I don't think they would have won. I still think Michigan was the better team out of both Alabama and Florida State. But I still think that, like, it wasn't like, oh, Alabama was leaps and shoulders better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. So hats off to Michigan and Harbaugh for what they've gone through all year. Right, you've got Harbaugh, the cheating scandal. You got everything. And then you met his dad. Did you see the interview with his dad?
Dude,
it was
like, Booney, like, have you met his
have
dad?
Have you met
Booney?
Dad? Have you met Mr.
So I'm going to tell
Papa,
you a true story about Papa. I met Papa Harbaugh. I used to eat dinner with Papa Harbaugh and the kids all the time because Jim was big into, like, you got to bring your kids to dinner. So my kids would come and eat with his kids, and we'd all just fuck around the whole day. So we meet his dad for the first time. First year Jim's there. He comes in. He brings him in for a pregame speech the night before a game. And I have never been so blown away in my life. I was, like, instantly in love with him. He got up there and started talking, and he just started talking about how Muhammad Ali was, what's my name? Yuck! What's my name? Yuck! Talking about and just going crazy. I was like, holy shit. I was in, like, literally my rookie year. I was like, what is going on right now? This guy is awesome. Like, he is just them. And you wonder where it sparks from. It's from dad.
It's hilarious.
It all comes
like
from
that. ESPN reporter. I think it was ESPN reporter guy that found his parents on the field. Yeah. Everyone's celebrating. His parents are just like down on the field. And he puts the mic in dad's face. And dad goes, yeah, our family's got a, we got a saying in our family. Who's got it better than us? And his mom just like Jim. Just cackling.
How much does he look like his dad too? They look exactly. Identical. Dude, oh. Identical. And it's hilarious. Jim's like, hey. How you doing? By the way, has anyone noticed he hasn't signed that contract yet?
And he hired Don.
Don't be stupid.
He hired Don E for the NFL stuff.
I think it's Chicago.
He's gone.
I'm calling it Chicago right now. Really? I'm just going to say Chicago. Dude, for somebody not to sign a $125 million deal.
I also think he's, I don't know. I'm not sold.
You're not getting any more than that.
I'm not sold on the fact that he's leaving. I think he might be leveraging Michigan to get a little bit more money because honestly, dude. Do you want to hire Jim in the NFL right now? Like,
I don't think you have a choice.
Aside.
I think yes.
Take football aside.
I do.
He's,
I do. I don't think
really
you have a choice.
He's a really good football coach, all that stuff. But, like, with all the stuff with the cheating and all that stuff, like, the NFL is different, man. Like, you can get away with that stuff at the college level. You can be a psycho, and you can say crazy things. Like, there was that Texas coach a few years ago that was, like, mouth-kissing his players. And you're just like, you're just like,
what?
Oh, that's weird.
What?
Yeah, dude, you're like, that's weird, but okay. And then, but like, it's college. Like, you start bringing some of that weird shit to the NFL. Like,
but,
I don't know, man.
But he's
played,
already
dude.
Been there.
He played.
He's already been there.
He knows. I'm promising you, he's going to come in, and the whole team's going to love him right away. You're like, this guy is awesome because he just lets you do what you want because he used to play. So he's like, I know how miserable we all are in here. Do whatever you want. Just don't get in trouble. You're like, okay, this is great. Welcome
to
the NFL.
Yeah, I would even go as far as saying a year ago, in fact, on our biggest episode of Purple Daily all time is the day Alex came on last January, and we did the, hey, Jim Harbaugh is going to be in the building tomorrow. The Vikings might hire him episode, and you spent like an hour just shedding light for the listeners on, okay, I played for this dude, and people got fired up, and the Vikings wind up going with Kevin O'Connell. And I said last week, I like Kevin O'Connell in retrospect. If I could go back in time, the Vikings, I think, made a mistake not hiring Jim Harbaugh. And I think the Chargers would be making a mistake not hiring Jim Harbaugh. And I think the Bears would be making a mistake not firing Matt Eberflus and hiring Jim Harbaugh. And I get what Jay's saying. There's some like weird stuff and some risk. And it's probably not a 10-year hire. It's probably like a 3-year or 4-year hire. But everywhere this dude goes, boom, culture
turns
change,
to gold.
Playing for championships.
It's because he speaks the truth. He doesn't lie, man. Dude, come on. Everybody cheats. Seriously. Nebraska should start cheating more, I think.
I'm just going to be honest with you.
But, hey, well, he believes in the right things, right? Like, he is all about – his biggest saying was more is more. So you'd come in and you'd be, like, looking at the script. You'd be like, how many fucking pages we got today? Jesus. Because, Jay, you know the script. There's 30 plays on a page, and you're looking at it like – it's 30, it's 60, it's 90, it's 120. Is this just us? Is this defense too? because he'd split up the field and he'd be. But I'm telling you, man, when you get to the game, when you don't have any worries and you're not thinking about anything other than just having fun with the boys, it makes football really fun. And it all of a sudden takes you out of who you're playing and what you're playing. Like we go, and I'm not saying that we ever did well against them, but there was times in Seattle where it probably didn't look like we were doing good, but we felt like we were like, man, we're close. We're really close. And this is Seattle in their fucking heyday. Like we were going up there, and yeah, there were times we got our asses kicked, but man, he was one of those guys that, when it comes to coaches too, he cared. Like in a weird way, he cared. Like he knew everything about you. And then he would just kind of poke you when he knew you were getting soft. Like he'd be like, man, I thought you were tougher. And then he'd walk away and you'd be like, fuck you, Sam.
like Rocky II.
Dude, there was a time, there was one time he went up to somebody and they were really hurt. They were really hurt. I mean, really hurt. And they were he was just taking a couple weeks off to get ready for the playoffs. And everybody was like, dude, just even I was like, take a couple weeks off, man. Just take a couple. We need you. Harbaugh walks by. He goes, something about a guy earning his paycheck makes him feel like a man. You know what I'm saying? guy looks right at him and goes, fuck yourself. She goes, have a great day. Walks away. Like, he just knew how to get you to be like, am I really that hurt? Or am I just being a pussy?
And
like,
And did you guys see some of the stuff? So, J.J. McCarthy gets, you know, the confetti is falling and Michigan wins, you know, their first playoff game. And it's J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh on the ESPN postgame on field.
Yes.
And Harbaugh answers, like, one question for, you know, for 5 seconds and says, yeah, talk to this guy right here. And he doesn't want to talk to media because all they're going to do is ask him about the scandal, right? Yep. And McCarthy's asked the next question, and he goes, he's like got tears in his eyes, and he says, I would be nothing without that coach, and he's got like tears coming down his face. I mean, the way that he gets people to just buy in, and you've talked about this, Booney, he gets people, and even if it's for only 3 or 4 years, he gets people to buy into this. I mean, dude, he was asked at the podium, you know, hey, you know, you guys went through all this adversity. He says it was almost an unfair advantage for us being able to fuel ourselves with this us against the world thing. It's like,
us versus them, dude. That's his biggest thing.
Frame it that way, you know?
Dude, he is so good with words. And then it's so funny because he'll get up there and like, he always has a notebook in his hand and a pen and he'll be like, you know, the scribes and the pundits, they were wrong again. Like, everybody just go crazy. Yeah, they were wrong about us. He'd be like, yeah, they were wrong. And you'd be like, yes. Like, he just created such small armies. It's awesome.
How about the you can't get on board with the J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback to ever play at Michigan quote, though?
But he has to say about stuff poking, like that to build the culture.
What did I say? Dude, I told you that. Dude. He will poke everybody. But he might not mean that, though. There's times where he says things and you're like,
that's what I'm talking about. Tom Brady, obviously.
Clearly. That's why you have to look at him. Because there's somebody that's really looking at that like, yeah, he's right. And you're like, you know, he's kind of just messing around a little bit, right? Like, he's just kind of doing that for flair because the GOAT went there, dude. Like,
yeah.
You're not. No.
All right. So I got one more.
You're still all that, huh, Jay? You're just no Harbaugh for you, apparently.
I like Harbaugh as a college coach.
Hater.
I don't know if I want him back in the NFL. I really right, don't. I got one last little piece of the mic for college football before we bounce. The transfer portal's got to change. The transfer portal rules has got to change because it is killing bowl season. Like, bowl season is not – I mean, you're watching bowl games, and you're like, okay, this team should win, and then you're like, wait, didn't their starting quarterback leave to, like, Wisconsin, like, 3 days ago? It's like, yeah, oh, okay.
Who does
like,
that?
It makes no sense, and I think Mike Norvell said it best. You can't have free agency in the middle of the season.
No.
Right? Like, I think if you're going to have the transfer portal window, have it starting Jan 4. Like, no one's transferring off the conference – transferring off of the national title teams. Right? Like, let it start Jan 4 so that guys can play their games, be around. Like, I still think you'll get some opt-outs for the NFL, which is fine. If you have a top 3 round, great. You should opt out, 100%. But as far as, like, the transfer portal and, like, killing the bowl games, I think that's got to change. The December 4th, the Jan 4th window's got to change.
Don't you think that the expanded playoff helps us, at least for, like, the top 10 or 12? What is it? Is it 12 teams? Are we going to 12 teams or 8 teams? Whatever.
12.
So you're – like Florida State – 25 players aren't bailing if they are just seated lower.
No, they were
right?
mad. Like, but I think what we're saying is you can't have guys opting out before their last game. Like, that's just not fair to anybody. Like, number one, you put the kids in a bad situation. And two, you make the team screwed. Dude, I looked at the Ohio State-Missouri game at halftime, yeah. and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then everyone's like, well, don't forget about all the opt-outs and all the kids that had to leave. And you're like, when were we forcing kids out of school before the last game? Like, hey, you got us all the way to this bowl game, but you can leave now. Well, we're going to let somebody else take over. Like, it just makes – and I'll tell you who's going to be really pissed. The sponsors. The bowl game sponsors are about to come down and be like, do you think I paid this much money to watch a third-string quarterback lose 0-3? It's not going to happen. Yeah, they're going
to – if nothing else, let's just make sure people know that we want to preserve the sanctity of the Avocados from Mexico Bowl next year.
Avocados from Mexico.
You never know which bowl game you're going to be in, man. You got to go.
But, yeah, I mean, food. Like Miami, the Van Dyke or whatever is the quarterback's last name, transferred to Wisconsin literally like a week before the game, right? So, and Kyle McCord, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like you're not, if you're not full strength, like I get it. If you're Marvin Harrison, why would you play in the bowl game? You're gonna be a third. You're gonna be the third overall pick. Right. No one blames you for that. But like the Tennessee Volunteers quarterback, he's a preferred free agent, maybe a late round pick, and he opted out of the bowl game. Like there just needs to be some guidelines and some rules that people need to educate these kids on because it didn't make it. It wasn't a fun bowl season. Like the college football playoff games were great, but other than that, like there really wasn't a lot of really fun bowl games to sit down and watch that were back and forth and really good programs and showing just. I don't know. The transfer portal window's got to change. I'm not saying it's got to go away. I just think we got to push it a month.
I thought the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl was ruined, personally.
Dude, how about the Pop-Tart Bowl? They ate the mascot. Dude. Fucking ate up.
That guy, that branding for them, the branding for them was through the roof. Dude, they were the most watched bowl game. They had like 11 million views. Like, yeah, they left the eye. Like, they all just left the one eye on the guy. Like, it was perfect. I love that. He was just like, dreams come true as he, like, went down into the toaster. It's incredible. Oh, that's
amazing, dude. Okay, my mic next year. We're going to the NFL here, boys.
Here we go.
My mic is Russell Wilson. I want to have a Russell Wilson conversation with you guys from a couple perspectives. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, he's 35 years old. I think 2 years ago he was... first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, Super Bowl with Seattle. The numbers were there. Two of the weirdest vibe years in recent NFL history. When you talk about a top quarterback going somewhere, it never felt right in Denver from the Nathaniel Hackett stuff all the way through the Sean Payton stuff. He winds up opening up to the media. He never opens up to the media. He's basically just a corporate robot who says, let's ride and whatever, right? And he winds up opening up and talking about how he confirmed the team approached him after that Chiefs win about altering his contract and the injury guarantee. So if they cut him, which it looks like they're going to, right, Denver would have an $85 million dead cap charge in 2024. If they do a post-June 1st designation, they could split the dead money over 2024-25. So basically, they're gonna eat $85 million in cap just to get rid of Russell Wilson. So I have a speculative question, but my first question to you guys as players in the locker room, what do you think of this? Like his numbers are not terrible this year, but there was another clip floating around social media a couple games ago. I didn't see the actual game live, but where he drops back, gets sacked, and five offensive linemen just kind of look at him in disgust and nobody helps him up. This has been happening for two straight years now in Denver. Something is off and weird with Russell Wilson in Denver. To the point where they're going to eat $85 million in dead cap.
Okay, so I'm going to say this because somebody actually just asked me about this. And they were like, dude, what do you think about the Russ Wilson thing? Maggie, I think I was on the show with you when he left and I was like, this is a bad decision. He needs to stay in Seattle. Everything about Russ Wilson is in Seattle. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, the way they play football. Those guys are just in sync. Tyler Lockett and Russ Wilson were one of the most spectacular quarterback receivers that I have ever seen. Like Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne. Like we're going back to watch some dudes. Those guys were fun. What the hell, when he went to Denver, made anyone think it was going to be any different? Was there a way better O-line there? Was there a way better run back? What's going on? I'm confused as to why everyone thought this was going to be great. But then not only that, but last night I started reading that a lot of this is starting to spawn from Sean Payton, it sounds like. Like, he's mad because Russ can't operate at a Drew Brees level. Drew Brees...
He's not like the on-time...
What the fuck do you think is going to happen? One is a stand back there and zip it 350 yards a game type dude. And the other one is I run around and make things happen because I'm special and spectacular. Like, it's two totally opposite things. And at the same time, if I was a player and my quarterback was approached, I sat on the NFLPA board, on the NFLPA. If they came to him, if he came to me and was like, hey, they just came to me and told me they want me to alter my contract, I would have went upstairs and kicked a fucking door in. Been like, are you out of your mind? Don't worry. I already called the president, the vice president, legal counsel. They're all on their way here. Did you just threaten to cut a player if he didn't change his fucking contract that you said?
Not cut. Bench.
Pretty much benching or cutting. Yeah. You're pretty much cutting him. Did you just threaten one of the top fucking quarterbacks in this league? Are you stupid? Let me show you how this world works, just for anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah, it shows the lack of respect to do that. Oh, I mean, how many?
It's not even a lack of respect. It's stupidity.
The PA is going to
They're going to pay them that $85 million now because Russ came out. And by the way, Russ has a great, great, respectable name in the league. I want you to know that. Yeah.
Yes.
If Russell Wilson comes out and says they threatened to bench me if I didn't change my contract, they might as well just pay him $500 million because he's going to turn around right now and the PA is going to be like, you did what? You idiots threatened to bench a guy who's guaranteed $85 million if he's here or not on this earth? Are you crazy?
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Why even sign a contract? Right? Like, why even sign a contract if that's the way that you're going to look at it and that's the way that a team feels like they can approach you and be like, hey, I know we both agreed to terms and I know we both signed this, but we want to save our asses some money, so will you alter this? Like, of course not. That's so dumb. Like, and yeah, did it work out in Denver? No. But that's tough shit. You signed it.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, you don't get to backtrack now because it didn't work out like the golden ball that you thought it could. Now, you know, I think Russ has handled it extremely well, like, because I think he does know, like, he's in the right. Right, like, I think if he felt like he was in the wrong, then he might be trying to like go. But he's in the right. He handled it well. He went out there. He played. Did his thing. And now Jared Stidham's show, I guess, here to the end. But you know, yeah, the PA and the NFL is not going to allow this to happen. And is it really that surprising that Sean Payton did this? Like, I mean, the guy that will stretch the rules as far as they can go. Like, it's not surprising. I think it's a bad look. And I mean, I don't know. This is going to put. Here's my biggest issue. They're going to punish Sean Payton, right? They're going to punish. They're going to fine him or whatever. But eventually, the only way you can really punish guys is if you punish the team by taking away draft picks or taking away practices and whatever. And that's the part that sucks. Is like, it's going to end up hurting the team. And this team's going to be in cap hell for the next 3 years. Yep. Right? Like, the Chiefs are sitting over there going, good, good. Like, we're going to be shitty for the next couple of years. We rebuild, but you guys are going to be worse because you're going to be paying someone $85 million who's not even there.
The Chargers are excited.
Oh, my God.
The Chargers are excited. The Vegas is like, they're done for the next 3 years.
It's they're toast. They're toast for 3 years.
Think about this, though. I want you to think about this. When Sean Payton left the Saints, what was their cap situation?
They were like 70 million over 70
in the hole. I'm just saying. Okay, sometimes you can kick the can down the road. That's what we call it. Everyone's just going to kick the can down the road, and the next guy will have to deal with it when we get fired. But I'm telling you right now, there are some things that you get into, and you're like, how the fuck did you get that far in debt? Like, we all knew the number was 200, and you went to 270? Are you crazy? Yeah. Like, dude, I just – I don't know.
Here's question two on the Russ front. All right. So Jeremy Fowler from ESPN floated three teams as potential. I think we all agree he's not playing for Denver next year.
No, the relationship is spoiled.
So Jeremy Fowler named the Falcons, the Steelers, and the Patriots as teams that could pursue Russell Wilson in free agency.
Falcons.
Those three teams, and are there any other teams? Do you think he has any gas left in the tank? Like, where do
you think he should come here. I think you should come to Minnesota. I think that this would be. Whoa, I'm just.
Stop. What did we just talk about what KOC wants? KOC wants a timing, throw it, let it roll. Like, that's what KOC wants. That's not what Russ is. We just talked about that. That's not what he is. Now, I think if I'm Russ, I'm taking a very team-friendly deal at wherever I go because he has offset language. For those of you that don't know what offset language is, that essentially saying that, like, whatever you get paid for by another team will offset how much we have to pay you from this dead cap money.
So you can stick it to Denver. He can play for 100%.
He can play for minimum. He won't play for a minimum because the PA won't allow it because that sets a market for quarterbacks, right? But if I'm Russ, I'm signing like 2 year for 15, right? Like with some incentives that maybe I can get myself up to 20, so 10 a year. Right, so that way you're still making $10 million, but at the end of the day, Denver's floating like 70 to 80% of your bill, and another team gets a great quarterback that maybe still has some gas in the tank, maybe doesn't, but gets them at a team-friendly deal because Denver's paying and footing the biggest bills. So I think Atlanta's a good spot for him. I think Atlanta's be more of a good fit for him. I don't think Patriot Way is necessarily where Russ wants to be. I also think the Patriots are going to be in a position to pick a really good quarterback. Yeah. Like, the Patriots are going to be right up there to pick Drake May, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix. Like, they don't need him. Atlanta, I think, has enough holes that if they can get a stopgap in quarterback for right now, they need some other help. They need a lot of help elsewhere.
Steelers are interesting because you've got Pickens as a whole. Pickens, since the blocking controversy, he has had a couple big games, but he's a big downfield threat, right? Russell Wilson needs someone. He drops back, the first read isn't there, or he rolls out, and he needs a go ball, right? Yeah. So
he needs a YOLO. He needs
more
a YOLO
than anything,
guy.
He needs people around him, too, though. He needs a lot of weapons. Like, dude, the guy like that, you put him on the move and you put people around him, it's just like the old Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City when Tyreek was there and they had Kelce. And I'm trying to think of who else was there. Was it Robinson? There was somebody else that was there. Like, the three
Mecole,
of them.
Mecole Hardman.
Like, just running around. Like, three of the best guys running around. And you're like, dude, how am I going to chase any of these guys? Dude, find a system like that. But not only, I mean, here's what I'm most mad about this, is that George is kind of behind a little bit of this. And I always loved George. I always loved George to death. And it was like, George, what are you doing, man? Like, you can't do that, dude. You know that, I know that, everybody knows that. And the fact that this even got out is insane to me. The fact that it even happened, and somebody's like, yeah, they tried to get me to do this. Never thought I'd see
George, this George, you might be the fall guy here. When it's
we'll also have to see. I mean, this is the PA is going to be terrified. This is going to try and set a precedent. And this is why they're going to stick it to Sean Payton. Like, you don't think Cleveland's going to try and do the same thing to Deshaun Watson? Right, like, you don't think all these mega deals that these quarterbacks had or teams are going to start trying to find a way to wiggle out of because that's the problem. And that's why I think this could be the wake up to the NFL front offices of, like, we got to stop paying quarterbacks this crazy amount of money. Like, we have to, because if it doesn't work out, we're tanking on the rest of our team for a long time. Right. So that might be the only positive that comes out of this, is it might see teams starting to pull the reins back a little bit on just backing the Brinks truck up and dumping money at these guys' feet. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out through free agency this year.
And how about the new owner? This guy just bought the team. Wait, what? What? Who signed this? You're definitely fired.
Dude, some of the teams that are, if you just look at like average annual value for quarterbacks, Joe Burrow got hurt, but $55 million a year, the Bengals are not the force they were a couple years ago. The Chargers are about to pay Justin Herbert $52 million a year, and they're firing everybody. Lamar Jackson, that is working as well as probably any top-paid quarterback in the league in Baltimore. You know, Russell Wilson is top five on this list. Kyler Murray is sixth on this list. Deshaun Watson. Generally, I know teams get desperate because there's only like 18 or 20 dudes in the world that can be that quarterback, but what... You got to build a 53-man roster.
Yeah,
too.
Right. You're only as good as your roster, man. Yeah. You're only as good as your roster.
Yep. So, all right, Booney, give us a mic.
All right. We didn't go last week, and I wanted to really bad because I had two great mics. Number one, I'm just going to mic him, and I'm sure we mic'd him in a game that I played against him in, but Jaire Alexander. I can't believe nobody brought this up.
Is the Packers cornerback?
The Packers corner
walks out on his own, designates himself a captain. I'm sure when he walked out there, the other three guys are like, "What are you doing here?" Before the coin even gets flipped, he's like, "Defense. We want to go defense." I can't imagine what Jordan Love was thinking. What? Dude, that has to be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
Honestly, he got suspended for a game for that, too.
Dude, contract detrimental. That's huge.
A hefty fine.
You can void your contract with that.
Yeah, that is a hefty, hefty fine.
The best was the fact that he acted like nothing happened afterwards. Right? Like, he was like, everybody got my back. The coach was like,
no, we don't.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, okay? He was so mad. You could see the steam coming off Matt LaFleur's head. He was like, we're going to discuss this tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning in my office.
Oh, my gosh, him and I. Like, dude.
It was so funny. I had to laugh at that. What's even crazier is they come out and then beat the living piss out of your Vikings, Mackie. Jesus Christ. We're all laughing at this team. And then they come out and they're like, who are you laughing at? That would be fun. And then
that was the best, most important loss of the season for my Minnesota.
Well, according to Mackie's Twitter account, he's not a real fan. He's just some bummer. Dude, Mackie's been getting crushed on Twitter.
What'd you say?
Murdered. And it's been fun to watch.
Before the game, I don't know if you guys are familiar with tankathon.com. I'm sure active NFL players are regulars on tankathon.com. So there's a website called Tankathon where they update you basically by the minute on the reverse standings in the NFL and draft position. And the Vikings, with this losing streak, even going into the Green Bay game, they were at one point they were picking like 22nd or 23rd. And they're always with, you know, backup quarterbacks destined to just get smoked in the first round, right? So they've kind of, you know, lose to the Bengals and lose to the Lions. They've kind of inched their way. And I put a screenshot out of Tankathon the morning of the Vikings-Packers game and said, hey, today is a great day for the Vikings to move up closer to the top 10 for their draft stock. And of course, it sparked the debate over, are you a bad fan if you don't root for your team to win, to get that sugar high in a 3-hour window? And I contest, no, you're a bad fan for not rooting for the long-term health and success of the franchise.
Oh, okay? God.
If the Vikings get Michael Penix, if or a franchise quarterback, you don't get to celebrate because you rooted for the Vikings
to win
on New Year's Eve.
You don't get to celebrate when we win because you weren't about this earlier. Dude, this is literally one of the hardest debates in the world, and I'm not even going to jump into this. All I'm going to say is that whole season, the whole Vikings season makes sense to me now after being here for so long. Like, you get – this year started really bad, and then everybody got super excited, and then all of a sudden Kirk got hurt, and it's right back to where we are every year, like week 8 with the Vikings. Like, all right. Here we go.
Dude, I think Kwesi, I mean, I'm not going on a Vikings tangent here, but I think Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is sitting there at the end of the season going, well, I kind of thought this is where you would be, but this is not at all how I thought we would get there.
No.
Right? Like, I think this is I assumed this is what this team would be, but by no stretch of the imagination did I assume this was the path in which we would take to get where we are.
Actually, you know, this is a good segue here. We will come back to more dumb football questions, but since we're on the topic, we welcome
Here we go.
This is an audible here. This is a check. Can. We'll get to our picks too. But Michael Hacker chimes in here via the YouTube comment section. You can always hit us up with your dumb football questions. He says, for you guys specifically, he doesn't give a rip what I think. If you could control the Vikings quarterback situation with Kirk Cousins expiring contract, Jaren Hall, fifth round pick, is under contract. I think Nick Mullins, it's a low cap hit. They're probably going to say, so they basically have one guy under contract for next year with maybe the 10th or 12th pick. Michael Hacker wants to know, what would you guys do at the Vikings quarterback situation if you ran the franchise? Now, Booney said you'd bring in Russell Wilson.
Well, no, the only really big free agent will be Russ Wilson, right?
And Kirk.
For free agency, yeah. Otherwise, yeah, you're drafting one of five or six guys in the first round.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to break it down as I say it. If I'm the Vikings, I'm trying to trade up and find a young quarterback. This is why I say that. When people argue, they argue from a fan's perspective. That's my opinion. It's constantly like, oh, my God, he's fine. We'll get to the playoffs and we'll see what happens. From a player's perspective, getting to the playoffs means absolutely nothing. Means nothing. You got there, you lost. People are just going to go, who gives a shit? Like, you want to eventually win the big game. Getting so close to the dance every year only starts to piss people off because it's like, what are we doing wrong? We're clearly close, but we're not getting over the hump. We're not getting over this fucking hump. What Buffalo. Is it?
AKA Buffalo.
Right? There's a lot of people and everyone's like, and some fans are like, what's wrong? We're a good team. Yeah, okay, you're a good team. Congratulations, you suck. You're the third worst team in the NFL. You're the third best team. If you're not the number one team, you're nobody. And that's why as a player, you're constantly fighting to get to the top. You don't want to get to the close to the top. You want to get all the way there. And when you don't get there after years of being so close, eventually it's like, okay, what's going to change? What is going to change going forward? 2 years ago, we threw a check down to lose the fucking game. What's going to change? Yeah, this year we started like shit. And then we came back and we fought really hard, but then he got hurt. That puts another situation in my mind. He's getting older. You guys have already gotten on me about Aaron Rodgers tearing an Achilles and coming back and laughing at me. This dude's what, like 4 years younger? 5 years younger? Like,
yeah, Rodgers is 39, 40, and Kirk is going to be 36. Yeah.
When you're 36, when you cross over the hump of 30, recovering is fucking different. I'm just telling you. Your body really slows down. It's like, I need a lot of time to do this. But at the same time, I'm wondering in the back of my mind, what's going to change? If he comes back for another year and we don't go to the Super Bowl, we don't win it, everyone's going to turn around and be like, here we are again. Another year we could have went out and got a good quarterback in the first round, developed him like the NFL system's supposed to do. You're supposed to draft players and develop them. You're not supposed to rely on free agency all the time. You're not supposed to rely on free agency for more than like one or two guys. If you're going and buying a team, it's not going to work. You cannot buy your championships. That's been said for 100 years in this league because it comes down to camaraderie. And at the same time, how do you know that that $250 million investment is going to be there week 11? You don't. And that's why it kind of falls on the GM in my mind always. If you go down as a quarterback and your team falls to shit, your GM should be fired. You're dude, telling me that 360 million people in this country, you can't find a backup quarterback? I'm not even kidding you. Well, I've thought about this because it's happened to my team. And I was literally like, wow.
What, you're 12-year-old guy away.
One guy away.
But oh dude, here's the thing. I think the Vikings from ownership down to a huge chunk of the fan base are so paralyzed by two things. The fear of turning into a garbage organization is one.
Yep.
And Christian Ponder post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes.
I swear to God, because the Vikings whiffed on Ponder in like the 2011 draft or whatever it was. Now, I mean, you should hear the conversations I have with fans. Well, what if they draft a quarterback and he turns into Christian Ponder?
Then you're never going to win.
That's a real fear among fans and ownership.
But there are a lot of people that don't turn around in Oakland and go, well, what if he's Jamarcus Russell? Like, eventually you have to learn and move on. Hey,
what if he's Patrick Mahomes? What if he's Josh Allen? What if he's Jalen Hurts?
If you play this game too conservative and you sit back and you do the what if game and the what if, you're never going to win. And honestly, if I knew that ownership was really doing that, I'd be like, I don't want to play for these guys. Like, you got to go out there guns blazing. Like, hey, at the same time, too, the things are different now. Combines run differently. People get to sit down with kids more now. You can talk to them. You can understand them. If you miss on a draft pick, it's really on you at this point. And that's why, like, when you look back 15 years at something that happened that long ago, dude, if you're really paralyzed by that to this day, you have zero chance.
I think I'm on the firm belief if you draft a young quarterback. Yeah. I think you see if you can bring Kirk back at the right price, because I'm not – if you get drafted in the first round, you're expected to be able to contribute, right? Like that is the we drafted you to contribute if we absolutely need you to at quarterback. I don't think there's anything wrong with sitting a first round quarterback for a year. I really don't. Like Patrick Mahomes did it. He turned out to be just fine. Like you throw some of these young quarterbacks into the wolves too early, you can ruin them, a la Bryce Young, right? Like it's possible, but you bring back a guy now. I don't think we'll get Kirk back because I think there'll be plenty of teams willing to pay him a bunch of money, like $40 million to $35 million a year. Like, the I
Falcons,
really do.
By the way, his wife's family is from Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, they got married in Atlanta. The Falcons are an interesting one to watch.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of teams that would look at Kirk and go, yeah, we'll take him for $35 million. So, I mean, if that's the number, that's not worth it. But I think there's enough good quarterbacks in this draft class that if you put yourself in a position to be in the top 10, maybe move up one or two spots to get one of those guys, you got to build with him. You got to trust your process. You got to trust who you go through here. You got to build with him. You tell Josh Dobbs, hey, it was fun a couple weeks. You can go pound sand, find somewhere else to go blast off the earth.
Like, sold some t-shirts. It was
do your thing. Like Jaren Hall, so obviously. Practice squad is where you belong. You run our scout team for as long as you need to, and then we'll cut you. And then Nick Mullins, we'll keep you around for camp, see what happens, and then we'll biggity bounce. Like I think you bring in a guy in, you sign Kirk if you can to a team friendly deal, and then eventually you have Kirk pass the reins to the new guy.
Yeah. It is funny. You guys, like, you ever sit down with like a financial planner and they say to you, you know, hey, based on your age and kind of where you're at with things, how aggressive do you want to be with your investing, yeah. right? And, you know, if you're older and you want to just make sure you're not going to lose half of your savings and maybe you want to just be conservative. And then they'll ask you on the other side, do you want to be really aggressive? We could just put it all on like a tech startup or something. The Vikings have been around for 65 years, 63 years. They've done everything there is to do. They've won a bajillion division championships. They've went to the Super Bowl, you know, four times and lost in the 70s. They've gone to NFC championship games. It's time to be aggressive with yes. your strategy.
Absolutely.
No one cares if you win nine games. No one, and you're not.
Nope.
And spare me the, well, they might turn into the Browns, you know, the 20-year run. This Don't. Is not a terribly run franchise. There's good no. infrastructure.
So no, I agree.
Be aggressive, man. Stop Dude. Fearing Christian Ponder 2.0.
That's the Go dumbest thing it. I've ever heard. I'm not even kidding you, because one of the best advice I heard from, and surprisingly it's from BA, was he was like, dude, no risk it, no biscuit. Like, if you're not going to go out there and risk something and throw everything you have into it, what the hell do you think you're going to get? And that's yeah. kind of, to me, like, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. They teach you quickly what insanity is in football. They're like, hey, moron, see how you're beating your head against the wall and you're doing it wrong? This is why everyone thinks you're insane, because you're an idiot. I know.
What?
Awesome. I'm still doing it, coach. You told me to.
Next dumb football question here for you guys from Colin Leary. He wants to know, what is said in the post-game handshakes with the other team after the game? What are you guys talking about with each other?
I mean, most of the time you go back and you see, like, well, the O-line always go up to the O-line and talk to each other, and you kind of just talk about how the game was, mess around a little bit, laugh a little bit. I mean, not a lot. There's not a lot of stuff said. There's a couple guys that go out there, maybe talk a little shit to each other, but that's about it. I mean, it's mostly chill.
It was mostly just, like, I would always make a point to go see, like, the guys I played in college with. Obviously, right, you always go see those guys and try and get a jersey swap or anything like that with them. And then I'd always try and go find the guys I played against throughout the game that, like, weren't dickheads the entire game and just, hey, good game, man, that was fun. Right, like, you just have a mutual respect for someone you just went to war with for the last 4 hours, right? And just, hey, appreciate it, like, see you again soon or whatever, stay healthy. I think that's the biggest words, always.
Stay healthy.
Always.
Yeah, stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Like, that's the one thing you always tell the other guy, because you know that's the one thing we're always thinking, right? No one ever wants to say it, but it'll be like, hey, man, great game. Hey, yeah, good luck this season. Hey, man, stay healthy. Oh, man, you too. And then you run off the field.
Run away as fast as you can.
Yeah.
I would say that's a great question, and it depends on the coach. Because when Harbaugh is your coach and you run out there, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, next thing you know, he's fighting the Detroit coach. Schwartz is super pissed. Like, everyone's going at it, dude. Sometimes it's really cool. I will say this. Watching it from home, when you watch the coaches handshake, you can tell the two that don't like each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in the moment, you don't ever see the coaches shake because you're, like Jay said, you're going to find the dude you played against. Like, you're either like, you're a real asshole for trying to fucking gouge my eyeballs out, or you're like, dude, that was insane, right? No one's going to believe us.
Was it San Francisco, the Harbaugh, the pat on the back, Jim yeah. Schwartz incident?
We pulled him through and like was.
Were you on
by.
That team?
Yeah. I chest bumped him right before we did it. We were all so excited. Dude, that was when the Lions were so good. Like, they were just dominant. And Harbaugh used to talk about all the time about how you never are supposed to untuck your shirt until the work is done. You stay tucked. So after the game, he, like, ripped his shirt out and, like, went crazy. And everybody was like, yeah. Dude, they were supposed to be really, really good that year. They had some ballers. And that was always fun, but. Got into a fight by the tunnel. It's hilarious. The refs were trying to break it up. They're like, we just want to go home. We just want to go home. It's hilarious, dude. By the way, you made me skip my mic, and this just kind of hit my brain.
Oh, go back.
My last mic, and I'm surprised we haven't talked about this yet. First time an owner's ever been in trouble. Oh. First time that
Mr. Tepa, Mr. Tepa,
Mr. Tepa, Mr. Tepa, Mr. Tepa. Let me tell you
David. Davey boy.
How you going to throw a drink in someone's face? What?
Is he the new Daniel Snyder?
Dude, you are worse.
We got Daniel Snyder out of the league.
I feel bad for Carolina people. I feel bad for their fan base. I feel bad for the team. Your owner's a dick. Searles, you know I wouldn't have gotten along with this guy at all. He'd have walked in, I'd have been like, fuck this.
We don't need to know the owner. That's the thing. Like, the owner should just be quiet, sit in your box.
But he's not. He's throwing drinks in people's faces.
Sign the checks. Like,
Dude, also, like, someone broke it down. Like, so they fined him. The NFL fined him
$300K.
Right? Someone broke it down on Twitter that, like, his net worth is this much.
$20 billion.
It was like, it'd be the equivalent of, like, of fining the average American, like, $77 or something like that. Like, it was just like, it's like nothing.
Dude, that's insane. I can't believe. And I'm curious to see if that guy's going to press charges.
I mean, not,
can you
probably
press
not.
Charges for,
I
mean, for a drink?
Yeah.
For
a drink? Dude, you're not allowed to, dude, you're not allowed to touch anybody.
Was it just the liquid? It was just the liquid.
Okay.
I don't think you. Cup. I don't think. Yeah, I think it was the cup. You got. God. You got. But like, also the dude like stood up and was like wanted to kill him. Was like standing at the edge.
Wouldn't
of the thing.
You? If somebody threw a drink in your face, you'd be like, dude.
But like, you could. You could even tell by Tepper's apology message when he was like, "I should have let." Like, he tried to backtrack a little bit. He was like, "I should have let the security at the stadium handle it," meaning that like he was saying something to him that was not kosher, right? Which is fair. It's what fans do.
Right.
But to lose your cool like that, man, that is a bad look. Bad look as an owner.
So when, so this dude came in, he fired Ron Rivera, right? He gives Matt Rhule a crazy guaranteed contract, fires Matt Rhule after 15 minutes, and then hires Frank Reich, fires Frank Reich, comments publicly on how they might have whiffed on the quarterback pick, right?
Yep.
Throwing drinks on opposing fans. I mean, this is...
How about the OC's wife went to Twitter and somebody was like, we need better play calling. And she said something like, my husband was fired already. They just asked him to stay and call plays. And I was like, dude, this league has gone upside down so fast. Yeah. Could you imagine that conversation? Hey, I know it's week 12. I'm firing you, but I need you to stay. Yeah. Consider this overtime. Consider this overtime. Okay. The OC's probably like, are you serious? They didn't even want Bryce Young. We wanted CJ Stroud.
You're playing on borrowed time here, pal. You're playing with house money. You just call whatever you want to call.
What a shit show. Are we sure this is the NFL? We're sure this is the Professional Football League?
Yep. Sure is.
We got guys like going back on their contracts. We got owners throwing drinks in faces. Dude, I remember a time when you didn't even know what the owner looked like. I'm not even kidding you. They were like, by the way, who owns this team? I've been playing here for 6 years.
I remember my first year with the Vikings. Since I got there, I had to ask at the Christmas party. I had to ask someone. I go, is that the Wolves? Like, I want to go shake their hand, but I just want to make sure that's them. I'm like, yeah, that's Ziggy. That's like, okay. Just wanted to make sure. Like, you didn't want to walk up and be like, hi, hello, my name is Jeremiah. Who are you? Sign your checks, idiot.
What if he just pulled one of your next week's checks out from a book?
This is for you.
See this name? And he rips it up.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But aren't the Wilfs come into the locker room after games?
Oh, yeah. Right?
They're hanging out. Ziggy with his little mustache.
I don't remember them there.
That year was different. That year
I don't remember them there. But like, also, like, we used to take the team picture. Like, when we take the team picture, they had to, like, leave the spots open.
I need a space.
Open.
I need
like
a space.
Space here. And then they'd
brush them in.
They'd Photoshop them into the team picture.
Dude, it's hilarious. If you looked at the real team picture, there's holes everywhere. And you're like, who's going here? The owner. Okay.
Stand up straight. They're two away from me.
Dude, it's so funny.
Hey, here's my question off, like, the Panthers. I think the Panthers are, like, the most incompetent team right now in the NFL. You might fight me on that, but... Now that the Browns have kind of graduated, Kevin Stefanski is kind of like the Browns for 20 years were the George Washington on the Mount Rushmore of incompetently run franchises, right? Lions are in that mix. The Lions are now back.
The Bears.
So we've got a couple of teams that have graduated. Who are the four on your Mount Rushmore of train wreck NFL franchises right now? Panthers are in the four.
Panthers.
Cardinals.
Atlanta. Dude, that coach is kind of crazy. Arthur Smith is kind of, dude, compared to what, like, you heard about the stuff he was doing at the combine. We're trying to, like, rattle players. Like, Peter Skoronski came out and said that, like, middle of his meeting, he was like, you're boring me. Why are you supposed to be boring me? He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like he just tries to rattle players. Like, this is what he does. And then, like, the whole way he handled, like, the Bijan thing. Right, like, whereas, like, Bijan was, like, sick, but not really sick. It didn't put him on inactive, but he wasn't on the injury report. Like, I think Atlanta, L.A., the Chargers.
Until Jim Harbaugh cleans it up.
Yeah, I mean, Telesco, they fired Telesco now. They fired, so there's three.
Patriots?
No, you can't say that.
No,
about
Bill. they're just lack of talent right now.
Maybe the Jets. Probably the Jets.
I was just gonna say it's got to be the Jets. Years with the Jets.
It's got to be the Jets. It's got to be
another year of dysfunction.
Yeah, it's got those would be my four. It's got to be the Jets.
We're going Jets, Panthers. We're going Falcons.
Falcons, Chargers.
Chargers. Yep. No love. For the
Cardinals. I might put the Cardinals on there. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Are the Commanders out of that list yet? I don't know that I know they changed ownership. It's a good
when
step.
When Sam right? Howell's your quarterback, I'm not really that mad at you for not winning.
Well, like eventually, I can't believe I forgot. But this happened last week too, where they were like, "Hey, Jacoby Brissett, starter. He's our guy. We're going with him throughout the year." Thursday practice rips his hamstring. Sam Howell, you're back, in, baby.
Love you,
you're
Sam.
Back. Bring it back. Like we always believed in you. Like that's the kind of stuff.
That's
you
what
know.
The
like,
best is. Oh, those conversations so really funny. Go like that. They literally look at him and they're like, "Dude, totally kidding. You're up. Ready? Ready? We're just fucking with you." Because you know, if that guy goes in shitty, it's over. And you're playing the Niners. Oh my god.
That was the best. Like, hey, we're gonna just go with Jacoby Brissett. See what we got. He rips his hamstring in practice. Like Sam Howell's back, baby.
Sam,
he's back.
I am
the man. Look who it is.
Slinging Sam. Let's go. Make it
I mean, he's no Joe Flacco, but here we go.
Oh, my
easy.
God. We will do a Joe Flacco film breakdown this week, so keep an eye
did
on
you get,
the,
Did you get the clip of when he touched the man's head? You never touched Black Guy's head.
Oh, he was like, don't touch my head.
Don't touch my head. He's like, what's wrong with you?
Don't ever touch my head.
He's like, oh, sorry, Quinn. It was my fault.
Just dude. Walking on clouds, touching everyone's head. Do you guys want to make some picks here?
Yeah, we probably should.
I do.
Okay. So we didn't make picks last week because we were all just bouncing around. I was I was skiing and water sliding last week in the Wisconsin Dells, the Las Vegas of the Upper Midwest. Good time. You guys ever take the family out to
no.
Kalahari to Noah's Ark? No.
Nope. Have you met Bear? No.
So because we didn't pick last week, starting and we will make picks in the playoffs. Starting mm-hmm. this week, week 18, 2 points per pick.
Okay? Love it.
Chance to catch up. So last week or 2 weeks ago, we all went 3-1.
Mm.
I'm 45-19. Booney is 41-23. Jay, you are 38-26. Okay. So I'm 7 games up on Jeremiah, 4 games up on Alex. We pick these games. We find the closest games. We pick them straight up because
spreads are for losers.
And again, every game this week is worth 2 points, starting with Texans at Colts. Both teams a coin flip to make the playoffs. This game will determine.
I'm going to go first. I'm going Texans. And I just, the way that they play and CJ Stroud coming back, winning, I'm telling you, man, D'Amico Ryans is, he's a good coach, dude. To come in right away, like, and this is, I probably would have put the Texans on that list had they not hired D'Amico Ryans because their last couple years were just a fucking train wreck. But to go out and get D'Amico and get a rookie quarterback and to be winning and in the playoff hunt, still, are they in the playoffs or are they in the hunt? I think they're in the
hunt. In the hunt.
Yeah.
It's a coin flip right now, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah. So they have to win, and I'm sure a team above them has to lose. But at the same time, dude, I think this is awesome. I'm going Texans all the way.
Yeah, I mean, what the Texans have been able to do with the injuries, losing Tank Dell, losing those guys, like, and still being able to come out with their defense. Will Anderson's been phenomenal. I'm not going to go against CJ Stroud. I'm just not going to do it. I mean, Gardner Minshew's been doing his thing, but I'm gonna definitely go Stroud here with the Texans.
I'm going to make it 3 Texans picks here, and for all the reasons you said, I just think, I mean, it's funny because the Colts every week I have the same thought. Are they really? There's no way the Colts can win again. There's no way. But so credit to the Colts for being 9-7. Gardner Minshew. It'll be interesting to see once Richardson comes back next year what that full operation looks like. Yeah. But right now. So of the 7 seeds, the Colts at 9-7 are the 7 seed. The Texans are the 8 seed. So it's basically a playoff game.
You win, you get in. Yep.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's the other 9-7 team with the 9 seed. So they need
once again another Mike Tomlin. Wow, what a year that dude has had. Right, and this still
another
season
above 500.
Fucking it.
Although if you were to ask him, I don't think the bar that he has set is just get to 9 wins every year. But that's
right.
It's to go. If you look at the 17 years to never finish below 500 is pretty
phenomenal. Shows you're a great coach.
So okay, Rams at Niners, which is maybe we even because these two teams are both in the playoffs, I might even just call an audible on this and pick a different game unless you guys feel strongly about picking Rams Niners.
I mean, I'm pretty sure team.
I'm
Niners might rest some players.
I'm sure the Niners.
That's what I was gonna say. I think the Niners rest players. McCaffrey's hurt.
Okay,
they're already in. Let's punt that. Let's punt that game.
Falcons at Saints.
There we go. There's a game, baby.
I think we all know who we're going with here.
I'm gonna go the Saints. I'm gonna take the Saints. I'm gonna take the Saints here. Desmond Ridder, that whole thing. I just put them on my Mount Rushmore of terrible ran teams, so I can't exactly go backwards here and pick them to win. You know, the Saints are. They're a conundrum. They're a conundrum team. 1 week they look great. Derek Carr looks awesome. 1 week they're like, what is this? Why are we watching this? Why is this on my television? Right. So I think this week, though, Falcons, Taylor Heineke is probably still going to get the nod at quarterback. Shout out Taylor. Love the guy. Played with him. Love I think him. He's making a hell of a career for himself. But give me the Saints.
Mackie?
Oh, man. So the
I know.
I love the Falcons. It's funny because the Falcons.
You're a big Falcons guy. You're big fly. You're big fly Falcons.
Do it.
Who's got two thumbs and is a big Falcons guy?
Come on, Mac. You do it.
You know. All right. You know what? I'll take the Falcons. I think what's going to happen is the clip of Jeremiah putting the Falcons in the Mount Rushmore of incompetent organization is going to make its way onto the whiteboard before that game.
Oh yeah.
What people are saying about us. Give me the Falcons in this game.
Where's this game at?
It's at New Orleans. I'm essentially giving you 2 points here.
Saints all the way. Have you ever played in that stadium?
Listen, we've all been peer pressured into picks this year. I'm just saying.
So I hope you guys
No shame.
I will say I feel like all of our tattoo bets are pretty safe that none of us are going to be getting ink anytime soon.
Dolphins, Jaguars, Cardinals, I think. Tough to get. Okay, yeah. I'll pick first on this one here, speaking of. Bills at Dolphins for the AFC East crown. Oh, part of me, I'm going to pick the Bills here, but I feel a little dirty about this because this is one of those, everyone's going to run in the same direction. The Bills are the hottest team in the NFL the last month and a half. The Dolphins just got their asses kicked by the Ravens last week. And so, well, that's the way things are going, right? Dolphins are fading, Bills, and so the obvious pick is the Bills here. But I also think in the NFL, when a team gets beat that badly and then gets to play a home game the next week, I think the Dolphins are going to come out fighting in this one. So I'm very iffy on this, but I think the Bills are the better team. The Bills are the better December team, January team. So I will take the Bills with hesitancy, I guess.
It's hard. I've done this. You go from Buffalo down to Miami in December, and like it's as much as going to a hot area. Like you're used to waking up and there's snow on the ground and it's 10 degrees outside, and then we went down there and I think it was like 90, and like you're melting, dude. You're just, everything's like, in Miami's thriving because they're running and gunning. Buffalo didn't look sharp against the New Patriots England? Last week.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't.
Like they really didn't look like they were sharp and going for it. But I'm not betting against Josh Allen. I'm not doing it. I'm taking the Bills here too.
If the Bills lose, they could be out.
They could go from being the 2 seed and in to not even making the playoffs if they lose, which is why I think like they're gonna be very motivated, ready to go, rocking and rolling.
Fly, Dolphins, fly.
Do it.
I know. I go either way on this because I know exactly. I was already thinking about the heat, dude. I was like, dude, that heat down there after being in this cold is going to be different. All right, there we go. Let's go, Fins. Mike McDaniels.
Dude, let's go.
I need the Bills to still get in the playoffs though, because I gotta see Josh Allen in the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. That brings us to an NFC North. Mostly pride on the line here for the Bears because they've been eliminated. But the Packers. The Packers are still fighting and clawing here, right? Let me just pull up the NFC standings. So the Packers right now are the 7 seed, tied with, record-wise, the Saints and Seahawks. So the Packers, it's a win and in for the Packers. Bears at Packers. I'll take Packers. I'll start us off here because I'm leading in the standings. The Bears are interesting. They've won like 4 out of their last 5. They're playing a bunch of backup quarterbacks, but their defense has been on lockdown for the most part the last month and a half, too, so... But give me the Packers at home. Jordan Love playing pretty well. And I think maybe this is the game that nudges the Bears in the direction of maybe Justin Fields has a clunker here in week 18 and it officially nudges them toward Caleb Williams.
But see, I'm the opposite. I'm going Bears. I think Justin Fields is playing for his life here. You know, in the last few weeks, he's made it tough on the Bears. He's made it tough and they're going like, hey, is maybe he the guy and we need to get some weapons around him? I mean, they've solidified the number one spot, right? They have the number one pick in the draft, so they're going to have options. But I think Fields is playing at a pretty high level. He's done some really good things with his feet the last few weeks. I like the Bears. Give me the Bears.
I'm going Packers.
Good. Good.
Yep, yep. Hey, we're about to end Jeremiah once and for all.
Put me on my misery.
Finish him.
It's over. Dude, we're always on the same team. That's why this is going to be weird. I'm really going to be watching this game because then I'm going to be texting you too. So you break ready.
Always ready.
We've got some differentiation, two points per pick, and then we'll keep picking in the playoffs here. But yeah, there you go. Your O-line committee picks. And I know that, okay, Fat Guy Fantasy, we'll do a season recap next week, I promise. I've dropped the ball. It's just, yeah. The manual counting has...
hey, man. Just trying to take you back to your roots. Take you back to your roots.
I'm the intern of the O-line committee, and I'm not doing my job here.
I'm not doing my job.
Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here, helping us get to 15,000 YouTube subscribers. Mm. Click that like button and the subscribe button. This is your offensive line lifestyle podcast, the O-line committee.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.